In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
It is good to be back after a week off, after my little fall on some cement. My ribs are doing much better, although things like getting in and out of chairs or coughing or definitely sneezing are extremely painful. That's not surprising, but it is surprising that driving can be quite painful thanks to Oregon's roads. Maybe ODOT should put some money into fixing existing roads rather than trying to scheme up ways to tax and toll people for a bridge that doesn't even exist yet. There is an awful lot to talk about today because there is a major battle happening right now in Salem over how to waste money, and that's on top of Democrats raising taxes and fees on pretty much everything. And while that sounds pretty typical for government, this particular waste of money is to force you to pay for imaginary problems. Climate change. There is a scheme being hatched in the legislature right now to add a carbon cap and trade program, allegedly to replace the governor's current climate protection plan. And even worse, there are some Republicans who are part of it. Right now, at least three of them are joining with Democrats to push this, and at least two of them are Republicans who ought to know better. I'm especially surprised and disappointed in Senator Bruce Starr and Representative Kevin Mannix, who are pushing this. I don't know Jeff Helfrich, who's the third in that. I don't know him well enough whether to know I'm surprised, but I am definitely disappointed that any Republican is going along with this game. Allegedly, they are thinking the cap and trade would be less worse than the governor's climate protection program because the legislature would get some control over how the money is spent. And you'll be shocked, or maybe not, how some of that is being given out. To talk about all that, I'd like to welcome Jen Hammaker back to the show. She is the president of ONRI, that's Oregon Natural Resource Industries. You can find out more about the great work they do at onri.us. Jen, it's great to talk to you again.
Hi, Mark. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, so we'll dig into all of this in much more detail in the rest of the show, but did I miss anything with my summary of the situation there?
No. Oregon legislature is once again trying to pass cap and trade through a transportation bill. And we've already got the CPP, which is the Climate Protection Program, which is the most punitive, expensive, and aggressive climate change plan in the United States of America.
Yeah. In fact, I read that it's the worst in the world. So there you go. You know, this situation where Republicans are looking to be on board with this, it reminds me of something from way back in 2010. When I first started getting involved in party politics, I had attended a Marion County Republican breakfast meeting, and Alan Alley was the speaker, and he was running for governor at the time, and I'm sitting there, you know, he was actually doing really quite well, and I was getting my MBA at the time, and I'm sitting there thinking, wow, an actual businessman running Oregon, that would be awesome. And then came the very last question, which had to do with some crazy environmental group had blocked the expansion of a runway up at PDX Airport. And so the question was, how would he deal with environmentalists standing in the way of progress if he was governor? And Ellen responded with, well, we just have to realize that the environmentalists in Oregon run this state, and we just have to try to find ways to work with them. And at that point, I thought, okay, this is somebody that I do not want as governor. So I'm ashamed that these Republicans would be on board with this. We had talked Tuesday last week. Are there any other Republicans that have signaled that they're going to join in with this?
I have not heard if any more are going to join in on this. I just know that the Kevin Mannix, Helfrich, and Starr have swayed towards cap and trade because they say that the industry is considering it, even though before, back in 2021, when they were trying to pass cap and trade, they were against it. These industry people were against it. Northwest Natural Gas was against cap and trade, and they're the lead plaintiffs on the lawsuit against the state to Governor Kate Brown's EO executive order that basically implemented cap and regulate, which is the pretty much the current climate protection program, the CPP. and they sued her. So the court ruled, sided with the Northwest Natural Gas. They had to stop the CPP plan, and then they re-implemented it back in 2024, November of this last November. But then they implemented it slowly and quietly. And so right now we're in phase one, and when they look at the CPP plan, the industry looks at the CPP plan, they see the projections. It, the trajectory is unattainable, number one, because it caps emissions so much, and it basically reduces the fuel, the supply of fuel. It will cripple Oregon. It will cripple industry. And that is why Northwest Natural Gas is now considering the cap and trade versus the CPP.
I understand their thinking is that, well, we're going to be punished, so we may as well take the lesser of two evils. But to me, you shouldn't take either one of these. This is an imaginary problem, climate change. And so I don't see, you would think that if Northwest Natural was, if they were playing it smart, they'd say, they'd stand up to this and say, no, you have to prove that this is existing. Because right now it's surely it exists only on computer models.
Yes, actually. And Oregon is, we already have a green economy. We're one of the greenest economies in the country. We have our forests and the products that our forests make sequester or absorb almost 50 million metric tons of CO2 every year. And we emit, Oregon emits 37.9 million metric tons. So we already absorb more carbon than what we emit.
Yes.
And so, but they're going to try to tax us on it some more, fee us on it some more, regulate us on that some more. And we're already doing the right thing. So this is so punitive for so many reasons. So, it punishes us so much for so many different reasons. And it's basically just to get money from us, because the trees, the green credits or the carbon credits that they want us to buy, so on the open market, you can buy carbon credits for a range, but on the average, probably $40 a credit.
Yeah, that's in California, Oregon, Washington, yeah.
Right. So in Oregon, they're going to start off the carbon credits at $132 per metric ton, per carbon credit. And that is an auction. So you know it's going to go up from there.
Yeah.
So it's three times the amount as what you could buy on the open market, but they're requiring you to buy the green credits from Oregon if you're an Oregon business. So this to me is just it's just a scam. It's not like trees produce, or I mean not produce, but absorb or sequester more carbon because they're under some kind of a carbon credit. They're already growing. They're already there. They're already doing their job for free.
Yeah. Well, you know, I saw a great little meme the other day. It said, if only plants could talk, they would beg for more carbon dioxide. So there you go. All right, everyone, stay with us. Lots more to talk about with Jennifer Hammaker. She is the president of Oregon Natural Resource Industries. You can find out more about them by heading to onri.us. Stay with us. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking today to Jen Hammaker. She's the president of Oregon Natural Resource Industries, an organization defending natural resource companies and workers that seem to be under constant attack from so-called environmentalists in Oregon. And Jen, we were talking today about this, the CPP versus a new scheme, and that's Climate Protection Program, versus a new scheme that's being cooked up to do more of a market-based carbon cap and trade. And I just like to would say for those of for those legislators out there considering this, this is not market based. A market means you have the option to join it or not. This is instead they've created a market that you can't even get out of. So these buzzwords like market based, no, it is absolutely not market based. But in that last segment there, you had mentioned that how punitive the CPP is. That it's four times or three times what Washington and California are paying for their schemes. Do you think that was part of the plan, actually, was to make this so onerous that industry would opt to have the cap and trade rather than what they ought to do was opt for nothing at all?
I didn't even think about that. I think so. Watching the legislature, as I have for, you know, the last 5-6 years very closely, and being involved in it, I have seen the Democrats just punish us and continue to punish us. So yes. I didn't even think. So when I look, so when they put in the cap and trade, when they introduced cap and trade in April through the transportation bill, I literally thought that it was not one or the other. I thought it was going to be both. I thought it was going to be the CPP and the cap and trade. And the reason why is because eventually it will be. Right now we have the CPP, which is the basically cap and regulate. And then they want to put it, they've introduced the cap and trade. And you and I both know that in Oregon, it's death by a thousand cuts. And this is a slash. This is a gash. This is going to absolutely cripple Oregon's industries. But eventually, I am sure, if they keep the CPP or if they enact the cap and trade, eventually they're both going to come around and they're both going to be implemented, because that's how Oregon's legislature works. They try to punish us consistently.
Yeah. And once you get one program started, they last forever. I think Reagan said that that's the closest thing to eternity here on earth is a government program.
Yes.
So as far as, you know, what the carbon cap and trade is supposed to be doing, it's supposed to limit the amount of, you know, they put a cap on how much an industry is allowed to emit in terms of carbon tons. And then anything beyond that, they have to pay. Well, back in the Middle Ages, they called them indulgences. And that's effectively what's going on here, is you're being able to pay to pollute. And that's been a big criticism of these carbon markets, is it really doesn't reduce emissions at all, unless it gets so punitive that you've got no other choice but to get out of it, which is why I thought, well, maybe that's the whole plan, is they want to make that other one so onerous that you have to settle for this one. That gets you the foot in the door, and then they're off to the races on this in terms of punishing businesses.
Yeah. So the kind of the difference that I, in my mind, I think of the DEQ, so that's the CPP, that's the climate protection program that's already been implemented last November. And that is regulated, or I guess overseen, by unelected bureaucrats. And so, and they give money, they appropriate, it's already, this nonprofit called Seeding Justice is given a certain amount of the funding that they're getting from companies and through the CPP. They're giving millions of dollars to the Seeding Justice, which is a nonprofit, and they are giving that money out to like other programs, other nonprofits like Planned Parenthood, Beyond Toxins, Reimagine Oregon, Friends of Family Farmers, which we all know is an anti-farming group that loves to regulate and feed family farms to death, and hundreds of more of these nonprofits with no oversight and no accountability. And so for the DEQ to do this, it's just so overstepping. It's so horrible. But then the cap and trade, which is in the transportation bill, that's going to be run by the legislature through the transportation package. And so it'll be a little bit more oversight, but nowhere in there does it say that they can't give that money to Seeding Justice also. Hmm. So I both of these are just horrible.
Yeah.
Absolutely horrible. And we're only in the phase one right now of the CPP. So if people are not feeling it, it's on purpose. In 2028, it's when the second phase of the CPP will start. And that is that's the one that's the most aggressive, expensive, and punitive climate change plan in the United States of America. Just for an example, if you own a house and you pay, let's say Northwest Natural Gas $100 for gas to heat your house, the compliance fee on top of that $100 will be $200. And so your bill will equal $300 for $100 worth of gas to heat your home.
Yeah.
And that's just on a consumer. That's not even a business level. So if you could imagine, this thing is going to be horrible.
Yeah. Well, that definitely defines horrible there when your gas bill goes up three times. You had mentioned that about seating justice. You know, I tried to look that up, but by Showtime, I was not able to confirm that they are, in fact, getting the, it's called CCI money, Community Climate Investments. It comes out of the CPP. Mm-hmm. And one source said they did not think they were getting money directly from the CPP, but they were also kind of vague and not so sure. So for the purpose of the discussion, we'll just assume that that's correct. You know, for years, we have been pointing out that vast amounts of cash flows from climate change to far-left causes, organizers, politicians, and nonprofits. The far left has used trillions of dollars from taxpayers to fund their belief system, which is why they're so desperate for people to believe climate change is real, yeah. Believe that global warming is science and not what it actually is, a belief system, a religion, a cult. The prime example of that is the Energy Trust of Oregon, which tacks on a public purpose surcharge to your utility bill and then hands out millions to far left causes. Is any of that CPP money designated to go to far right causes?
No, no. The CCP. So when I was talking about the seating justice, it does not. None of the money out of the whatever CCI or whatever you just said does not need to fund anything to do with carbon sequestration technology at all whatsoever in any shape or form. And actually, to go past that, they have the DEQ hasn't even done a economic analysis on how much this is costing Oregonians, period, end of sentence. There's no economic analysis at all. And so, you know, there's no limit is what I'm trying to say. And the money that is given out for quote unquote, you know, carbon sequestration, whatever it's technology, does not have to go to that. And also, we do not have the technology right now in Oregon to move as far away from fossil fuels as what the governor wants to, or what the D wants to.
Yeah. Okay. We are up against a break. I want to pick that up again about seating justice and some of the lack of accountability there. Everyone stay with us. We'll continue with Jennifer Hambacher, the president of ONRI. And welcome back. We're talking today to Jennifer Hambacher. She's from a family with a long history in timber and fishing, and she's currently serving as the president of ONRI, that's Oregon Natural Resource Industries. Find out more about them by heading to onri.us. And so, Jen, in that last segment there, we were talking about seating justice, and this is a prime example of how the left funds its operations. And I had mentioned the Energy Trust of Oregon, and that's something that we've been following for a number of years. And just to back up a little bit on that, They tack a public purpose surcharge to everybody's utility bills here in Oregon and then hands out millions to far left causes and nonprofits for things called program implementation, which is a fancy way of saying marketing stupid ideas to an unsuspecting and gullible public. And the politicians who hop on board because they see a massive flow of cash and want some of it, because all of that buzz that's out there about climate change, they think it's popular, or worse, people are simply uninformed about these things. But now they're looking at doing this with this seating justice. And again, I can't confirm whether or not they are, in fact, getting funds. It's looking like they may. And we're just going to kind of assume that they are for the sake of discussion and as an example of how this could all work theoretically, whether it's them or some other group. And if you look at them potentially getting millions of dollars from this climate protection program, on their mission statement, they say, "We build collective power by transforming philanthropy and funding movements in the pursuit of justice and liberation for all communities." The population served, this is from the 990 forums there on GuideStar, they serve ethnic and racial groups, LGBTQ people, economically disadvantaged people, immigrants and migrants, and activists. I'm not sure how any of that fits in with climate change. I assume they're not saying climate change causes any of that. But anyway, in 2022, their contributions were $5.7 million, but then a whopping $23.5 million in 2023.
Jeez.
And this is the concerning part, is that their approach includes minimal oversight and flexible reporting and a focus on systemic change over direct services. And minimal oversight is troubling because, just like all of those NGOs that we discovered were getting funds from at the federal level from things like USAID, I mean, this is a way to funnel money with no genuine means to track where it all ends up.
That's exactly right. And so I have many contacts within the Oregon legislature, and this is what they have to deal with all the time. And also it pushes an agenda, not only agenda, but, you know, the propaganda that is emotionally charged. And so people, when it's emotionally charged propaganda, they seem to identify with it better or more.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing on a state level an absolute, I think that they were rounding, you know, or spiraling. We're getting worse and worse and worse. Whereas now we're seeing the Trump administration and the people in there trying to, you know, get rid of the fraud, get rid of these kind of NGOs and all of this propaganda and emotionally charged, you know, stuff. And it's working and it's doing great. And we're seeing the federal government really coming together for the forests, for expanded timber, lumber, the NEPAs, all of the things that the federal government is doing right now is so positive and so great. And here we are in Oregon, and time again, these legislators get up there, Democrats get up there and whine about the Trump administration when our own state is falling through the cracks. They are taxing us, regulating us, overburdening us constantly and always. And now this cap and trade and the CPP will be implemented phase two in 2028, which will wreck Oregon. They shut down our forests. They're punishing our farmers and our ranchers. They're metering our wells and water. I mean, what's the end state here?
Yeah, it's like they don't like Oregonians. I'm beginning to think that maybe what the Democrats are really trying to do is to make everybody leave Oregon, and then they'll have this one giant forest that can catch on fire all that it wants, and they can just spend all of their time putting it out. It's just insane what is happening. Just one more thing about Influence Watch, about Seating Justice. According to Influence Watch, they note that Seating Justice's minimal oversight and lack of mandatory written grant reports could obscure how funds are used. And so imagine that is that they're getting millions of dollars from the state. They're not asking whoever it is that they're granting that money to give them any written reports. They all just get a phone call and that's it. They don't even write down how those grants were used. There's no expectations. They just hand out money with no strings attached to it. And we're supposed to be okay with that because we have no means to know how those funds are being distributed. I mean, they could be funding terrorism for all we know. I'm not saying they are, but for heaven's sakes, when you don't have any kind of reporting, we as taxpayers need to have that. We need to have some kind of accountability. And I would think that the legislature would want that as well.
100%. Well, yeah, through the DEQ, the CPP gives that money to the Seating Justice. And the Seating Justice has given grants for the union organizers. I mean, so the DEQ is a bureaucracy. The people that are the leads in the DEQ are given directives by the governor. The governor tells them what she wants to happen in broad brushstrokes, and DEQ carries it out. Who decided that it was okay to give millions of dollars to Seating Justice for that money to go allocated to all these different, you know, liberal whatevers, NGOs, including union grants for union organizers, for God's sake. I mean, oh my God, the whole thing is a scam. It scams the people of Oregon. It undermines our businesses and our industries. It's just absolutely ridiculous. There's no accountability. None.
Yes, you are absolutely right. And that needs to stop. If you're getting taxpayer dollars, you need to be accountable for every penny of that. And we need to know where that ends up. No accountability is exactly how money laundering happens. And to be clear, you know, I teased earlier that how much of these funds are going to far left groups, and not that it would happen, but that wouldn't be okay if it did. I mean, we should not be using taxpayer funds to go to either far left or far right. The government should not be in the business of granting money that ends up in the hands of activist organizations, period. Okay, let's take a break a little bit early. We'll continue this discussion with Jennifer Hammaker talking about the carbon credits scheme that's coming out of the legislature. Stay with us. Welcome back. We're talking to Jennifer Hammaker. We're talking about a new scheme coming out of Salem. It's to replace the climate protection plan with one that is slightly less onerous, but every bit is unnecessary, the cap and trade program that some Republicans, unfortunately, are pushing. And Jen, just to return to this whole notion of cap and trade, you had mentioned earlier that Washington, California, and I think Quebec are all about $40 or so per ton of carbon emissions. And then Oregon is looking at doing 132, if I remember right. Those seem kind of arbitrary numbers. I mean, how do they come up with this idea that $40, that's the perfect amount that we should be charging for these carbon credits? Why not charge $1 or $1,000 or $10,000? I mean, how did they come up with these numbers that says that this will reduce carbon emissions?
Yeah, the whole thing is an artificial market. The whole thing is arbitrary. Where did they come up with $132 per metric ton of CO2 as far as a credit goes? It's absolutely ridiculous. Like I said before, in Oregon, we already absorb or sequester more carbon than what we emit. So why are they placing a $132 carbon credit for one metric ton of carbon when we're already sequestering more carbon than what we emit? It makes no sense. Where did they come up with $132? Where does anybody come up? I just bought airplane tickets to head down to San Diego and on American Airlines. And it says once I purchase them, I can also purchase or give money $14 for one carbon credit. I can offset my jet fuel emissions by paying American Airlines more money.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. The whole thing is an artificial, arbitrary market set by the governments. And I'll tell you what, they're the only ones that benefit.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and far left organizations, apparently they benefit too. Yeah. So in any normal market, you exchange something of value, money, for something of equal value. And it's voluntary. There's no market that I'm aware of that says you have to buy my bread or I'll tax you. Right. So this is not a market. And again, I'm hearing Republicans say, oh, it's a market-based solution. It's not market-based. If you can't opt out of it, it's not market-based. It's just a tax is all it is. And so use all the buzzwords you want. It's still a tax. And
that's true.
And it's for an imaginary value because people aren't going to be necessarily polluting less until they make it illegal for you or unaffordable for you to use the fuels that you currently do.
So, unaffordable.
Even if we cut our emissions to zero, it does nothing for the global. I mean, it's not even a drop in the ocean in terms of the overall CO2 in the atmosphere, especially what China is putting out. So it does nothing.
Yes. Well, and okay, so just to go beyond that. So back in 2007, they passed, I think it's HB 3546, and that established their cap on where they wanted to be for carbon emissions. They wanted to be 25% less than 2090 by 2020 or 2030. Anyways, they put a cap on these emissions of what they wanted Oregon to do. But then they started doing the research on how much we do sequester and how much we do emit. And from 2007 to 2025, they do it in aggregate instead of per capita. So in aggregate, we have grown our carbon footprint by, I think, 12% or something like that. And then, but if they did it per capita, because we've had a lot of people, population growth from 2007 to 2025, if they did it per capita, per person, then we would be almost 30% less than the targeted emissions for 2050. So we'd be, 25 years before. We'd be ahead of the game by 25 years if they did it per capita versus in aggregate, if that makes sense.
Yeah, admit it does make sense because, as I recall, back when they were first doing, what are our green targets, they excluded hydroelectric generators, the dams. Because if you counted those, we were way ahead. So they had to exclude those in order to set those targets that we wanted to reduce by. You had mentioned earlier that everything the feds are doing is great. And that's the problem I see with this, because the problem is going to be its impact on business.
Yeah,
truckers are going to pay a fee for this. Farmers are going to have to pay fees on this, which means the food price going up. But the problem is that Trump is trying to remake America into a manufacturing center again. And when you look at all of the rest of the states that don't have these kinds of things, and so they're going to be setting up these factories, these manufacturing plants, people are going to be getting jobs. Oregon's going to get none of that. In fact, people and businesses will be leaving the state while at a time when we should be attracting all of those businesses here. And unfortunately, this does nothing but chase those away.
Yeah. That's the logical take on it. But who said logic had anything to do with Oregon's legislature? So, the bottom line is that this is anti-business, both the CPP and the cap and trade and everything else they're doing in the legislature, which keeps getting worse and worse. It's anti-business. U of O just came out with a study that shows that a lot of businesses, there's a mass exodus of businesses yes. out of Oregon to other states because we can't be competitive here. Not only is the CPP and the cap and trade breathing down our necks, but we also are so highly regulated and restricted and feed and taxed to death. My husband just read an article last night on the internet about we are the second highest tax rate, second to New York City. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. So no, what the legislature is doing is crazy to me. And these poor people of Oregon that are just trying to make ends meet, it's just not getting any easier for them.
No, it's not, and it's not going to get any easier. Okay, big question coming up here. We'll have to take a break. Everyone stay with us. We'll continue this discussion with Jen Hammaker. Standing up to the environmental nonsense that happens in Oregon is what ONRI does best. That's ONRI, Oregon Natural Resource Industries, and we're talking to its president, Jen Hammaker. You can find out more about them by heading to onri.us. They also have a fantastic and very active Facebook page posting updates about legislation and other natural resource-related news. Just go to Facebook and look for ONRI, all one word, and they should appear right at the top. But if all else fails, head to iSpyRadio.com and look for today's show page, which is 15-23, and we'll provide links to both their website and their Facebook page. And Jen, I knew this next question might take you a bit to answer this one. As far as whether it's the climate protection program or the cap and trade scheme, will anyone escape from this? I mean, who pays for this? But I mean, will anyone escape from it?
Yeah, this really does impact any kind of manufacturing, any kind of farming. We have the consumers, obviously, the gas companies, natural gas, builders, anybody that does business in Oregon, and anybody that does any kind of transit. So any of the goods and services, anything like that, because it literally puts both of these, our systems for controlling emissions when we don't really need to. And it also makes the supply of the fuel go down. So that that makes it more expensive, which is just ridiculous. And also we have this is funny because my friends and I were talking about buying a tanker and going to Idaho or going to another state and getting it filled with gas and just using it for personal use once they enact the cap and trade or the CPP in phase two. And we can't. You can't take it across state lines without paying a huge tax. Yeah. So it's gonna involve everybody. It's gonna impact everybody, and we all know that the end consumer is really whether you're buying some diapers in the store or you're trying to build a shed out back. It's going to impact you.
Wow. Yeah.
Electricity is going to go up also.
Yeah. Well, you had mentioned natural gas going up by a factor of three. That alone is pretty shocking. But as I'm listening to you talk. And all of these fees are going up. We've already talked about how businesses are going to be chased out of Oregon because of this and certainly not attract any of the new businesses that are coming back into the United States with that transition to a manufacturing economy. Shouldn't government be in the business of making things more affordable for its citizens rather than what they're doing now?
Absolutely. But that's not how Oregon works. Not underneath Democratic control. I wouldn't even call it trifecta anymore. It's a quadfecta. We have the governor who is a Democrat. We've got a Senate and House that are controlled by Democrats. We've got a treasurer that's a Democrat. And we've got a Secretary of State that's a Democrat. We have five people that run our government that are all on the same agenda. And I think they hate Oregonians.
Yeah. Well, you have to judge somebody by their actions. Their words, especially politicians, you can't trust the thing they say. It's their actions that matter. And right now, you're right. Their actions say we hate Oregonians. You missed one is that all of the Supreme Court justices and so much of the judicials, they're all Democrats. They've been, it's what, 30, almost going on 40 years now of judicial appointments all by Democrats?
Yep. So. Yeah, and in our Oregon's Constitution, it says that we are to elect our judges, and we don't. They tell the governor that they're going to retire. Then she appoints somebody new, and they're an incumbent, so they get voted in. I mean, it's just it's a racket.
Yeah. So let's dig in a little bit into the CPP, the Climate Protection Program. It was an executive order back in 2020. It's not legislation. It was originally put into effect, as you said, in December 2021, but then it was thrown out in December 2023. It got resurrected by Governor Kotek in 2024. We've talked also about some of the regulations there, because they've got this situation where they could be funneling money taken from people and businesses and giving it to far-left nonprofits. But also, you had talked about the emission reductions targets. As far as who is administering all of that, as I understand it, it's just strictly unelected bureaucrats at the DEQ. That's correct, isn't it?
Yes.
And they're also, because they're bureaucrats, they're not accountable for the outcomes of that policy. So it could chase businesses by the bucket load, by the truckload. Of course, they'd have to pay for a fee for the emissions. They'd chase them out by the truckload out of Oregon. And
yes,
there's no accountability there. So as far as this, the cap and trade is concerned, allegedly that will be administered by the legislators. Is that one of the reasons why the legislators want to jump on board with this?
I think they're considering cap and trade because of exactly what you said. But I want to take you back real quick. I think everybody remembers cap and trade in 2019, that the walkouts and the mm-hmm. fleeing of the state. And I will never forget what Kate Brown said. She said, "Revenge is a dish best served cold and slow." And then through executive order during COVID, she directed the DEQ to develop and enforce a cap and regulate, which is what we now call the CPP, the Climate Protection Program. And it was shut down by the court, like you said, and then they just changed a couple words in it, and they re-implemented it slowly and quietly in November of 2024 in phase one, so that they could. So it's in phase one now for 4 years until 2028. In 2028, it becomes the most aggressive, punitive, and expensive program, climate change program in the country. Yeah. And that's so scary, because we are already green and we're already hurting.
Yes, absolutely. So you mentioned Republicans fleeing the state during the walkout, and that was shocking that they had to do that. They were being threatened with arrest and everything else, all to push this climate change garbage into place. But that's what makes it so disappointing right now, that three Republicans apparently have forgotten all of that and instead they're willing to side with Democrats to push this through.
Yes.
We need to head to a break, but do not miss the 2-minute video on iSpyRadio.com. Just hit this week's show page 15-23. It is a jaw-dropping, stunning look at Ivanpah, a $2.2 billion solar boondoggle that burned through free government money and 60,000 birds while delivering half the energy it promised. To hit even that, they had to cheat, and I mean cheat. It produced twice the pollution of a normal power plant, took up 3,500 acres, and delivered just 10% of the jobs it promised. And here's a little research not mentioned in the video. A natural gas plant would have done the same job for a fraction of the cost, just $270 million. This is exactly the kind of green grift Oregon Democrats will fund through climate fees. Not science, not savings, just their climate religion on your dime. Go check that out, give that a share, and we'll be right back. And welcome back. We're in our final segment now here on the iSpy Radio Show. We've been talking with Jen Hammaker. She is the president of ONRI. That's O-N-R-I, Oregon Natural Resource Industries. You can find out more about them by heading to onri.us. And so, Jen, we were talking during the break there, and one of the things that keeps coming to my mind is this notion of a poison pill, where they've got this horrendous program already with the CPP, that it is so onerous, it's going to do things like make your natural gas bill go up by a factor of three, go from $100 to $300. And then they're also handing out money to far-left organizations, it looks like, from the money generated from these carbon cap and trades, from the carbon schemes. Now, mm-hmm. instead, they're looking at putting in a less poisonous pill that would give the legislature a little bit more control. And so, of course, that makes legislators start to salivate and saying, oh, my gosh, we get our hands on all this money and we can start doling it out. But I think there's another element to this, too, because this discussion is happening at a time when they're holding the kicker hostage. And they're saying, which is constitutionally guaranteed. So now the Democrats want to strip away a constitutional right that we have. They're looking at holding that hostage and maybe using that instead to fight wildfires, which they wouldn't need to do if they're actually managing forests. So you've got two levers of pressure on here on these legislators. I think Republicans need to wise up and see through this.
Yep. Yeah, 100%. And, you know, Tina Kotek has wanted her grubby little hands on the kicker for decades. She's been pushing that scenario for a long time. So for this to be, you know, during forest fire season, everybody's mind is, we're all aware of it. We can't stand the smoke and all the different impacts that the forest fires make. And so they're holding it hostage because we already had our first forest fire in Oregon, and it's the beginning of forest fire season. So they're going to hold, what is it, SB 83 hostage, which would do away with the fire map bill, the 763, 762. And so they're holding that hostage so that the Republicans get on board with taking our kicker, putting it into some account. I guess it's going to be overseen by ODF, who can't manage anything, let alone a forest and their money. I mean, they're basically bankrupt right now. They just got a $218 million back in February, $218 million appropriation allocation from the legislature under a special session. They're broke. And they're going to give them $1 billion to oversee so that they can mitigate forest fire when all they have to do is harvest trees and manage our forests.
Yeah.
It would pay for itself, and it would bring jobs and resilience to our health, to our forests. The tax base would come back. There's so many that our counties would actually reap the benefits. Our state would reap the benefits, and we wouldn't have to be choking every summer with all this smoke.
Yeah.
Gosh. It's absolutely ridiculous, but that's how the Democrats play the game.
Yeah. What a concept. As far as these three Republicans, and again, it's Kevin Mannix, Jeff Helfrich, who I don't know very well, but Bruce Starr as well. He's a senator. Mm-hmm. They seem to be at least indicating that they're in favor of this. What should their play be here?
Well, you know, that's why I haven't run for office. I would just say no to any of it and all of it. And I would be telling the industry, no, we're not going to go here, because I've seen long enough, been in politics or legislative stuff, that I know that they will implement everything they can. Democrats love to punish Oregonians, period, end of sentence. And it keeps on stacking on. It's a cumulative.
Hmm.
And so to me, if I was a legislator, I think that probably I'd get real involved with the DEQ. And I don't know exactly what I would do. This is such a sad state that they can hold us, you know, hostage like this, that they can threaten us even more than what they already have.
Yeah, it's hard to see when you're being, and they're obviously being manipulated. I'd like to think that they would be smart enough to see through this, but apparently not from what we're seeing so far. I mean, this is classic poison pill. And it's to make the alternative to a bad idea so unattractive that it's poison. But the reality is they're both poison pills. It's just how fast that poison works. The solution is to not swallow either one. So I agree with you. I don't think they should be doing either one of these things. And if anything, my play would be to let the worst of the two continue. It's when Oregonians start to see the actual impacts of that horrendous bill that maybe they would start voting differently.
And that is the wisdom right there. What you just said is wisdom, because if they're going to carry this sword, let them fall on it.
Yeah.
Well, if this is really where they want to go with it, let them die on the sword.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be painful for a while, but you have to get out there in front of this as Republicans start explaining, this is the result of voting Democrat for 40 years.
Yes.
This is what you see.
Yes.
So
one-party system.
We only got a couple of minutes here left with you. Christine Drazen is probably the odds-on favorite to win the Republican nomination for governor at this point. What does she make of this? Have you talked with her? And if you have, what are some solutions she has to solving this problem?
I have not talked to her in depth, but I do know that her position is that she's diving deep into the CPP and also the cap and trade through the, it's called the TRIP. It's the Transportation Reinvestment Plan. that the Democrats, you know, introduced to legislature in April. And so, and there's thousands of pages. So she's going through that, trying to see how punitive it is. Obviously, it's very punitive. It's very punishing. And so she's looking at those kind of, you know, what it's going to cost her constituents, what it's going to cost Oregonians. Hmm. And that's what her concern is. And so through the DEQ, the CPP, you know, we have to peel that back also and learn what's in there and figure out what's in there too. Because so I did not realize that we were in phase one, or I guess what I didn't realize is that there were more phases than phase one. I didn't realize in 2028 that phase two starts, and that's when
that's
it just
when all starts. Yeah, all hell breaks loose. Notice that it's after the 2026 election. Isn't that convenient? Ew. You know, it seems to me if so many Oregonians really believe in climate change like politicians think, and this is such a popular thing for politicians to champion, then why not make paying for climate change optional? If you believe in it, if you really think the world is in danger, you can tick a box on your tax returns and you can get charged extra. And I have no doubt that some would actually do that, but I strongly suspect even the true believers won't tithe at that church. Jen, unfortunately, we're up against the clock. I want to thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much.
It's amazing how climate change works the exact same way COVID vaccines did. My vaccine doesn't work unless everybody gets it. Just like I can't save the world from climate change unless everybody pays for it. Look, Democrats deserve all of the blame here. These are their stupid ideas. I expect nothing from them. But I do expect better from Republicans. Bruce Starr and Representatives Kevin Mannix and Jeff Helfrich are the ones who appear in favor of this poison. But whether they are your senators or not, you need to let your own senator and representative know what you think about the Democrats' carbon schemes. They are both bad ideas. Let the Democrats take the blame for it. It's a religion, not science. Carbon dioxide is not the problem. A senator from Australia recently shared a little-known scientific fact. The carbon dioxide molecule absorbs so little electromagnetic energy that it cannot even make one of its own electrons jump to an outer orbit. But climate doomers want you to believe that CO2 can somehow magically heat up 10,000 surrounding molecules of nitrogen and oxygen. Climate change is a lie, and I am deeply disappointed that any Republican or anybody with any common sense falls for this. Wake up! Our government has made a business of telling lies. It is time to stop believing them, and certainly time to stop paying for schemes based on those lies. Don't be silent, because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.